Exodus chapter 28 and verse 1. Take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments. Everyone say holy garments. For Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments. There's those words again. Everybody say holy garments. Holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as a priest. Look at the next chapter, chapter 29, and just one more verse, the 29th verse of the 29th chapter of the book of Exodus. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. Holy garments. I want to just come alongside the focus of this month here at this great church, and I want to speak on hand-me-downs. Hand-me-downs. How many of you have ever worn hand-me-downs? Yeah. Some of you right now are saying, I'm wearing them right now. Would you set your Bible down and lift your voice one more time? Let's invoke the presence of the Lord over this word. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your anointing that is so evident here on this Wednesday night. Would you take your word and would you let it mix with our faith tonight? Would you touch families? Would you touch individuals, Lord? Would you collectively lay an anointing upon this house and empower us forward in this year? I thank you for it. We're going to give you all the glory and all of the praise in the name of Jesus. And everyone, would you say amen? Amen. Turn to two people, shake their hand and say, hand me downs. And then you may be seated. You may be seated. There are some moments in my life for which I have felt fairly prepared. On my 16th birthday, I got my driver's license. I didn't want to wait till the day after I turned 16, and I couldn't legally go the day before I turned 16. So on my 16th birthday, I went and took my driver's test, and I got my driver's license. I never will forget that day. I was instructed by the man who was in charge of the driving test to get in the driver's seat, and he climbed in the passenger seat, and he said, all right, Mr. Gaddy, I want you to pull out of the parking lot. We're going to go up here to this stop sign. We're going to make a quick turn and just settle down at about 45 miles an hour and go to the next light and turn left. Now, the truth of the matter was, I was prepared for this test because I had studied the road signs, and all the rules for defensive driving were just second nature to me. And yet, I was so nervous, every part of me was shaking. My hands were shaking, my head was shaking, my shoulders were shaking, and my feet were shaking. Now herein lies a problem, because one of those feet, my right foot, was on the gas pedal. And while the foot is on the gas pedal, it is shaking uncontrollably. And so we were herking and jerking down the road while I was going through the driving test. But thankfully, I suppose the Lord let him just look over all of the nervousness, and I passed because I was prepared. I remember the first time I ever got a shot at the doctor's office. My mother told me, she said, "Now, Tim, when we go," I was just a little guy. Well, let me rephrase that. I was littler than I am now. And she said, "Now, he's going to give you a shot, so you need to get ready for this. So when you see the needle come out, just steel yourself. You're going to get a shot." And so I was ready. I prepared myself as much as I could for something I had never experienced before. And the doctor came up to me. He just talked to me kind of like just like a little boy. And he said, "Tim, are you ready for your shot?" And I thought to myself later on, what a ridiculous thing to ask a child. Are you ready for your shot? Yeah, yeah, please bring it on. He said, "I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to give you the shot." He said, "You ready?" I said, "Yeah, I'm ready." One, two, and that doctor lied to me. Because at the count of two, he gave me the shot. He didn't wait till he got to three. But I was ready. I had prepared myself. But then there are other times for which no amount of talking or training can prepare you. December 1997, my wonderful wife, Stacy, gave me the greatest gift that a husband could desire outside of her own hand in marriage when she gave me our baby girl. She's all grown up now. I've already mentioned she's now married, on her own, loving life, living in North Carolina. But on this particular day, the doctors handed me this wiggling mass of humanity. Mine, my daughter, and our family had begun. I distinctly remember the nurse wheeling my wife out in the wheelchair out to the waiting car that I had pulled up as we were getting ready to put our daughter in the car for the very first time and take her home. And I am amazed. I'll just go on record right now as saying in 2026, I am amazed by the technology of baby gadgets today. Some of you who have little babies right now, you are so blessed. I look back in the olden days when I had kids, and we didn't have the snazzy, you know, car seats that turn into strollers, that turn into beds, and all the stuff that they have now. And so I remember lifting my daughter with the car seat carrier thing, and I put it in the back seat and turned it backwards because you can't have them facing frontwards. They don't want them looking at what's going on. And so we turned the child around in the back seat and buckled it in and put all the pulleys and straps and all the cables and everything and got it all secure. And then I went over and I gingerly lifted my wife out of the wheelchair and kind of brought her over and sat her down in the front seat of the car and reached across and buckled the seat belt. And I never will forget what happened next. In that moment, the nurse who had been pushing the wheelchair with now nobody in the wheelchair was heading back into the hospital, and she turned and looked at us and just waved and said, "We'll see you." And I had the most horrific thought come across my mind. "You mean you're not coming with us? What happens if she coughs in the middle of the night? Is she supposed to turn that color? How many diapers is she supposed to go through in one day?" So many questions and so little experience. But as unique as they are and as different as they are, the family is still God's design. The family is still God's plan for filling the earth with his image. The family, strong families are what builds strong churches. I don't think I have to exaggerate this point, and I think we all understand this. Strong churches are not simply built by strong buildings. Strong churches are not just built by strong preaching and strong leaders, but strong churches are constructed out of families that are biblical and healthy and striving to be like Jesus every day of their lives. Strong families build strong churches. It's amazing how families provide us with life's greatest joys and, unfortunately at times, the deepest of heartaches. because of this immense importance that is attached to this God-ordained and God-defined institution. I am rising tonight to lift my voice on this Wednesday night and petition God with everything inside of me. Lord, I want you to lay a blessing on my family tonight. God, I want you to lay a blessing on my children tonight. God, I want you to lay a blessing on my home tonight. I wonder if there'd be any mothers or fathers at Atlanta West on a Wednesday night that without shame or hesitation would lift up your spirit and your voice with your spirit and say, God, I want your anointing to touch my family this year in a way that it's never touched my family before. Is there a daddy in this house that wants to come into union with the spirit right now and say, Lord, would you touch every interaction I have with my kids? Would you bless every meal we share together? Would you let there be an anointing upon every time that we discuss heavy things and vacation? Every part of my family, I want it to be blessed. God, bless our families tonight. God, bless the families of this church tonight. God, anoint us with your anointing. I want a blessing on my family. I want a blessing on my family. And on the surface, it probably seems pretty practical. Moses is given instruction by God on how to construct the Ark of the Covenant. There is intricate detail that is shared on how the children of Israel were to offer proper sacrifices. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. It is in this great detail in the Old Testament that we hear things like candlesticks and borders and curtains and pillars and rods and gold and incense, things that to us sound very foreign in our vernacular. And yet to Moses, the Lord spoke and said, Moses, take your brother Aaron and his sons from among the people, that he may minister unto me as a priest. Aaron, this word is for you, but it's for your children as well. I want you to make sure that Nadab hears this word from the Lord. I want you to make sure that Abihu and Eleazar and Ithamar are there, because I am calling you as a family out from among the people. There's going to be a special, unique calling upon this family. They're not going to be like everybody else. There's going to be something different about this family. Moses, I even want you to take very special care in how the artisans sew their garments, because these garments do not speak merely of covering the body of these individuals, but these garments declare the distinctiveness of this family. Do you hear me tonight? When people see this family wearing these garments, it will speak of the anointing that is on their lives. It will speak of an identity that goes beyond anybody else. There's going to be something different about these people in these garments. They are special garments. And the Lord even went so far as to say they are holy garments. Now, when we walk this through church history, we will find that ancient Hebrew writers believe that when King Ahasuerus of Persia prepared his banquet that Esther chapter 1 talks about, he wanted it so impressive that many believe he took off the kingly robes that he was wearing and instead wore the priestly garments, because they were glorious and they were beautiful and they were distinct. Moses, I want you to make sure that for this family, they have holy garments. Now, it is at this point that this story of craftsmanship that's relegated to the pages of the Old Covenant can stay something merely in history We can read it in our Bibles on a Wednesday night and say, wow, that's an interesting story, Brother Gaddy. A family would have special garments made just for them to serve in the role of a priest. Or we could lift our spirits a little bit higher than a Wednesday night and realize that in the new covenant, Peter declares you are a chosen generation and you are a royal priesthood and you are a holy nation and you are a peculiar people. Who is he talking about? He is now not talking about Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and Eleazar. He's talking about Holy Spirit-filled people who are a royal priesthood today, who are a holy nation today, who are a peculiar people today. It was John in Revelation 5 and verse number 10 who spoke of this Jesus who redeemed us with his own shed blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God. May I preach it like I feel it on this Wednesday night? Can I preach to some families at Atlanta West? God never intended our families to be like every other family. God didn't fill us with the Holy Ghost and put the name of Jesus Christ on us so we could live and exist just like every other family in the world. There's something different about you. There's an anointing on your family. There's a peculiar, special calling from God that is resting on your family. Come on, we can't look at life like every other family can look. We don't act like every other family acts. We don't worship like every other family worships. There is something significant on our lives. So dads, moms, I have a question for us tonight. It's not a question that I wish you would answer out loud, but rather let it absorb into your spirit. It's a simple question. It's not even a trick question. Moms, dads, what kind of garment are we wearing tonight? You say, well, Brother Gaddy, I got this one on sale. I didn't pay a whole lot for it. I got it down at the Goodwill. Let me just level with you. I got it down at the Goodwill. We had that January 1st sale at Dillard's. That's when I got it. I picked it up. Don't you like this dress? It's a good color on me. This is a Hart, Schaffner, and Marks right here is what I'm wearing, right? I'm not talking about literally what's on your body right now. But moms, dads, what kind of garment did you walk in Atlanta West wearing tonight? Because I got to make sure we understand this. You and I, as parents, will pass on what we wear, not just what we profess. Now, that's so good, I'm going to say that again. You and I will pass on to the next generation. You and I will hand down to the next generation what we wear ourselves. Not simply what we say with our mouth. You see, to those that are closest to us, we are identified by what they see, not simply what we say with our words. And the call of the Holy Ghost to Aaron's generation is clear tonight. We must wear anointed garments and wear them well. Mom and dad, what kind of garments are we wearing tonight? I submit to this great congregation in Atlanta tonight. The very first garment we must wear, it's a holy garment, is the garment of praise. It's the garment of praise. I made up in my mind a long time ago, I didn't want to walk into service, especially when my family was with me, and them look over at me at any time and think that I was disinterested in what was going on. I didn't want my boy to look over at me and see me yawning and kicking back. How many of you know you can tell an awful lot about what people think about a church service by how they sit in church services? You ever seen anybody that just is reclined? I mean, they're just almost asleep. They're kicking back, and it's just a blessing of the Lord that they're able to be in the house of the Lord, and the Lord should be thankful they showed up on a Wednesday night. I never wanted that. I wanted my kids to look over at me, and whether I had worked real hard that week or we had just come off vacation, I wanted a praise to be in my spirit. I didn't want to just tell my kids we ought to praise God. I wanted to show them how to praise God. I didn't want the pastor to be the only one that would teach on worship. I wanted them to see it embodied in mom and dad. They are worshipers of the Lord. They worship God when they feel like it, and they worship God when they don't feel like it. They worship God when there's revival, and they worship God when there is a trial. They worship God on the good days, and they worship God on the bad days. Oh, that there would be a praise in our spirit that would be seen by the next generation. Come on, I want to wear the garment of praise. David said, one generation shall praise your works to another generation and shall declare thy mighty acts. The prophet Isaiah said he'll give you beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I wonder if there's a daddy that wants to rise up in your spirit and say, this is how we praise God. I wonder if there's a mama that wants to rise up on a Wednesday night and say, this is how we praise God. This is how we magnify Him. This is how we worship Him. This is how we lift our hands. This is how we sing. Come on, I'm gonna make sure I got that garment of praise on. I'm gonna make sure I got that garment of praise on. Come on, I feel praise sweeping through this house on a Wednesday night. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together. Woo! Come on, He gave us hands. We might as well use them to praise Him. He gave me a voice. I might as well use it to praise Him. I made up in my mind, I'm going to show praise. I'm going to wear praise. I'm going to wear worship. I'm going to hand that down to the next generation. Woo! You can be seated. I was preaching a number of years ago. It was in our older sanctuary before we built our new building, and it was a Sunday morning, and it was one of those Sunday mornings that it was red hot. I mean, it was apostolic with a capital A. I mean, it was just awesome. And there was people praying for each other and healings taking place and people getting baptized and people getting the Holy Ghost. And it was one of those services where I really didn't know. I was the preacher for the day, but I really didn't know if the Lord was even going to allow me to preach. It was one of those kind of services. So I finally took the plunge and I took the pulpit and I said, open your Bibles. I started preaching. And while I was preaching, I looked in the back of the sanctuary. And there was a short little white-haired man in the back of the sanctuary. And while I was preaching, he was giving it one of these. You got to understand, I'm the only one that could see that. Because he was in the back facing the same direction as y'all are facing. And I'm facing this way. I'm the only one could see that. And the more he did it, the more ramped up I got. He was literally pulling the preaching out of me. And people around are worshiping and getting with the preacher, and the little white-haired man in the back was just going. And I'll tell you why that blessed me so much. Because that was my 89-year-old daddy. He'd been serving the Lord longer than I'd been me. And yet something was still on him. I wonder if we got any elders at Atlanta West. It's still on you tonight. It hadn't got old yet. It's still just as real tonight as it was with the first night that God saved you and filled you and thrilled you with his Spirit. He's excited. And so while I'm preaching, I holler to him, Pop! That's what I called him, Pop. Pop! Come up here. And you got to appreciate this. My dad in his older years almost got just where he couldn't hear at all. He didn't even hear me. I said, Pop, come up here. So finally, everybody around him realized I'm wanting my dad to come up. So they turn around to him and yelled, Pop, go up there. So my dad, my short little dad, comes toddling down the aisle. And I grab him by the hand and bring him up on the platform. And he's kind of walking and balancing, coming over. And I'm telling you, it was one of those services. I mean, you just didn't have to say much. And the place was going to go. And I got him by the hand. And when the church saw me with my arm around my dad on that platform, it went up to a whole different place. People are worshiping and praising God. And I got my arm around my dad and I looked at him. I said, isn't this awesome, Pop? I never will forget what my dad said. My 89-year-old dad looked at me. I was the only one who could hear what he said. And he leaned over to me while the church is just buzzing with praise. And he said two words that I'll never forget. He said, let's dance. Brother Reyes, you know what I did? I started picking them up and putting them down. I started dancing in the presence of the Lord. My daddy couldn't pick them up and put them down. He just kind of shuffled back and forth. But here's an 89-year-old man shuffling and his younger son jumping up and down. I made up in my, it doesn't matter if nobody praises God. The man who showed me how to praise God said, let's dance. So I'm going to dance in the presence of the Lord. Come on, Mom and Dad, we ought to wear that garment of praise. We ought to wear that garment of worship. Oh, I wish we'd take about 15 seconds right now and put the garment on. I wish you wouldn't worry about who's around you right now, but let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the high praises of God be in our mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. Come on, let your kids see you praising. Let your family see you praising. Let the church see you praising God. This is how we worship. It's a garment we wear. It's a garment we wear. Everybody say the garment of praise. Look at someone near you and say, you need to wear that garment. Come on, I wish you'd just say, testify to someone, you need to hand that garment down. I'm gonna tell you, I can think of nothing more exciting than a generation on the front raising up in this church who are committed to worshiping and praising God, just like they saw their grandpa worshiping God, just like they saw their daddy worshiping God. Come on, we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be backwards or feel afraid. This is the house of the Lord. He's been so good to me. I will bless his name. I'm gonna hand that down. I'm gonna hand that down. I never will forget one year because of the Times Conference. My son was doing video. He was one of the video guys that went around videoing everything. They contracted him to do that.
And I don't know what made, you can sit down. I don't know what happened, but earlier in the day, he was trying to get out of a certain door in the church and he couldn't get out. And so he decided to jump over a fence. He jumped over the fence and broke his leg. And we took him to the hospital. It's at because of the times. We took him to the hospital, brought him back to the service, and he's hopping around, videoing, doing all the media stuff. And I look back and at the end of a service, Pastor, and my boy has got a camera in one hand and a praise in one foot. And he was worshiping, and he was dancing, and he was rejoicing while he was working. And I made up my mind, that's why we praise God. We must also wear tonight the holy garment of faith. Paul told Timothy, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Oh, that there would be a generation that would rise up that believes with God all things are possible. An anointed garment of faith that declares if God be for us, then who can be against us? An anointed garment of faith that looks at sickness and says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out devils. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Oh, that there would be a generation with great faith to believe God for anything. I feel a nudge in my spirit to tell somebody, it's not over yet. God can do anything in your family. I want to preach to a mom or dad of a prodigal son or daughter right now. If they've got breath in their body, it's not too late. God can do anything. God can touch any child. Oh, that we would rise up with a garment of great faith. Faith that believes God for the miraculous. Faith that believes God for things that are not seen yet, but they will come to pass in the name of the Lord. Faith that pushes through obstacles. Faith that believes that the devil does not have more power than the Lord Jesus. Faith that is on display. It's something that rises up and says, preach it, Pastor. We got your back. We're believing with you that miracles are coming for this church. Provision is coming for this church. Blessing is coming for this church. I just have faith to believe for it. Believe it. I believe it. You say, Brother Gaddy, I don't have the great heritage of praise. And I don't have a heritage of faith. I want to speak to you. If you don't have a heritage, start one. If your daddy wasn't a praiser, if your daddy wasn't a man of faith, you can start one today. You can make up in your mind, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will praise the Lord. We will have faith in this limitless, boundless God. I will finish tonight by making an appeal not only to Aaron's generation, but also for Aaron's sons. Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. I wish to make sure that we all understand that you and I are reaping in vineyards that we did not plant. And we are living in houses that we have not built. And we are drinking from wells which we did not dig. And the garment of praise and the garment of faith that has been modeled by so many great generations before us, that garment is for our generation as well. I want you to notice when the Lord gave instruction to Aaron, he didn't say, I'm going to build one set of garments for you, and then the next generation gets to invent their own garments. He said the garments for Aaron's generation, when he passes off the scene, is going to be passed down to the next generation. So I would say to this great young generation, young adults and teenagers that are in this house on this Wednesday night, we have got such a blessing before us. And that is the blessing of example of people who are older than us, who are showing us the way of praise and showing us the way of worship. I'm not worried about your generation. I'm not feeling off put by your generation. I believe that the ends of the earth are coming to your generation. I believe you're going to take up the garment of praise and you're going to take up the garment of faith, and God's going to do things through your generation that he will not do through my generation. Why? Because you're putting it on. You're putting on that holy garment. It is for you. It's for you. A number of years ago, I was getting ready to travel somewhere to preach. I've thought in my mind where it was, and I guess it's just because I'm middle-aged now, I can't remember. But I do remember that I had to go fly somewhere. I wasn't driving. I do remember that little piece of information. And so before I left to go to the airport, I went around the house and I was just hugging on my family and telling them goodbye and asking for their prayer. I went and hugged my wife. She said, Tim, I'm going to be praying for you. And we had prayer. And went into my daughter's room and I said, Madison, I got to go. I love you. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. And she hugged me. And then I went to my son's room. You got to understand my son. He is such a great guy. Man, I love him so much. But he's not verbose. Now my daughter, verbose. Not a motor mouth, but she has no problem just carrying on conversations with anybody. And the truth is, my son doesn't have a problem carrying on conversations. He just doesn't use as many words. Which, now that I think about it, that's actually pretty normal. I read one time that the average woman uses about 20,000 words a day. And the average man uses about 7,000 words a day. Never will forget one night after I had read that statistic, we were laying in bed and my wife decided to use a lot of hers. And I made the grave mistake of looking over at her after a flurry of words. And I said, babe, how come it is? I told her the statistic and I told her the number. I said, how come it is that you save up most of yours for when we're laying in bed at night? The swelling, it took about 2 weeks for that to go down. I'm just kidding about that part. My kids were in the back seat one day and Madison was just telling us about school. Just telling us all about school. Landon's saying nothing. After a while, my wife looked in the back seat. She said, Landon, how come you're not saying anything? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, Mom, I don't have anything to say. Now, how many of you, without pointing, because that would be rude, you wish there's some people that would learn that lesson? I don't have anything to say, so I'm just not going to say anything. And I went into my son's room that day, and I said, Landon, I got to go, and I want you to pray for me. He said, all right, Dad, I'll make sure. I'll pray for you. I said, well, I'd actually like you to pray for me now. He said, yeah, that's great. And I said, I'd like you to reach over, and I want you to lay your hand on my head, and I want you to pray for me. And I really felt this from the Lord for him to do this. He said, okay, Dad. So we're standing in my son's bedroom, and he reaches over and lays his hand on my head, and he starts praying. God, thank you for my dad. Thank you that he gets to go preach, and I just pray you'd be with him and keep the plane up till it's supposed to come down and anoint him while he preaches. And I can't really tell you exactly how it happened, But somewhere while my son was praying, faith filled that room. And after about 10 seconds of praying like that, he's still got his hand on my head and he's praying and saying, God, use my dad. God, just come into that church service and let people be ready for the word of God. Use my dad while he preaches. Anoint him while he preaches. And I could tell he was feeling it. And I was feeling it. He prayed like that for 15 or 20 seconds. And Pastor, before I knew it, my son has got his hand on my head. And he is praying loudly in the bedroom. God, shake the house with your glory. God, shake the house with your glory. God, shake the house with your glory. And when he prayed that, I lost it. And the reason why I lost it is because I cannot tell you the number of times that I have knelt down next to a bed before walking out of a room to go preach somewhere. And I have prayed this prayer. God, shake the house with your glory. God, shake the house with your glory. God, shake the house with your glory. And Pastor Johns, it dawned on me, that boy had taken off his garments and he had put on his daddy's garments, the garments of faith, to believe that God was going to show up and God was going to touch people's lives and God was going to give a breakthrough. Come on, I need to speak a word of faith over a family. There's coming a day when that next generation is going to surpass our generation. We must wear the garments well. I want you to stand with me right now. We have such an opportunity in this month of February. We have such an opportunity to hand down to the next generation truth.